dead after car crashes into a crowd in Munster, Germany. It's Carl Brizzi filling in for Guy Relford, 93 WIBC. You can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter, at Carl Brizzi. So apparently at this point, police in Germany are investigating a van that crashed into a crowded, popular pedestrian area in Germany, killing at least three people at this point that we know and injuring scores of others. The information, folks, is still coming in, but it certainly looks like this is an act of terror. The driver shot himself, and this attack, again, according to reports, was timed in such a way to coincide with an attack a year ago to the day in Stockholm. And if you remember, the weapon that was the weapon of choice used in the Stockholm terror attack was a hijacked lorry. And that lorry was deliberately driven into the crowds, killing five and injuring 14 others. So what was the weapon of choice used last year on Halloween in New York City? A rented Home Depot truck. Killed eight people. Injured 11 people. July 2016, a terrorist drove a 19-ton truck through crowds who were celebrating Bastille Day in Nice, France, killing 86 people. 86 people, including 10 children, and injuring hundreds more. December 2016, 12 killed, 49 injured when a terrorist drove a truck into a crowded Christmas market in Berlin. June 2017, 7 killed, 48 injured in a terror attack in London. After the terrorists crashed the truck, the three of them ran to the Borough Market in London and began stabbing people in and around the restaurants and bars. In August 2017, a terrorist plowed into pedestrians in a popular Barcelona area, killing 13 and injuring more than 100 residents and tourists. Are you listeners picking up what I am putting down? What was the weapon of choice in Charlottesville? It was a car. The guy from Ohio killed a 32-year-old woman, injured 19 other people with a car. What I'm saying is this. Vehicles are being deployed all over the world as weapons. And apparently, they are very effective at killing people. This is Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. I am filling in for the gun guy, Guy Relford. Appreciate the opportunity to be on air. 86 people, folks, dead in Nice, France. And this current attack right here reminds us that anything that is a tool, like a vehicle, can be used as a weapon. But you see, that narrative doesn't fit nicely into the mainstream news. Doesn't fit nicely into the mainstream news' media narrative, nor does it jive with the Democratic hysterical and hyperbolic attacks on these so-called weapons of war. Where are the calls for automobiles to be banned? Why aren't these so-called weapons of war? Where's the outcry? They're not talking about cars. No. It's the guns that are hazardous to our health. It's the vehicles that are being used now. They become, according to the experts, the weapon of choice for people intent on doing harm. And people will argue with me, Carl, that's silly, because cars, you know, we need cars. Cars are transportation. Cars aren't designed for killing people because they think that the primary purpose of guns is for killing. Well, here's what we're going to talk about during the rest of the show. That's just flat wrong. And I'll tell you why. The primary purpose of a firearm is not to kill human beings, right? The primary purpose of a firearm is a tool, like an automobile. It's a tool. There's nothing intrinsically evil about either a car or a firearm. Now, both of those things, just like anything, like a brick, like a knife, like a hammer, an axe, all tools. But they absolutely can become instruments of evil when they're misused by evil people who are intent on causing great harm. It's Carl Brizzi filling in for Guy Relford, 93 WIBC. I appreciate everyone who responded on Facebook with different ideas for the show today, and I'm going to try to incorporate some of those ideas into the show. But I wanted to stay true to the spirit of the show with the gun guy, with Guy Relford, and kind of focus on the Second Amendment. And what was interesting was that this thing happened in Germany just a few hours ago, and it got me thinking about, you know, where is all the hue and cry about cars that are being misused by evil people to kill people? Because that's what's happening with guns. There's something like over 300 million firearms in the country. And if a majority or even a something other than a very small, minuscule percentage of the population was misusing those firearms, we would have a tragedy on our hands that would be unprecedented. So we're going to take your calls. We're going to talk about these issues. Carl Brizzi filling in for Guy Relford, 93 WIBC. Our telephone number is 317-239-9393. We're going to be taking your calls. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. Carl Brizzi filling in for Guy Relford, 93 WIBC. You can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter at Carl Brizzi. 317-239-9393 if you want to weigh in on this conversation. And like I said before the break, I do appreciate everybody who commented on my Facebook page with different ideas for today's two-hour show. I appreciate that very much. And if I don't use the ideas this time around, there'll definitely be another opportunity. I wanted to stay true to what the listeners during this two-hour period were used to hearing with Guy and gun issues and Second Amendment issues. And then this tragedy happened in Germany where a terrorist who, after crashing the car into the crowd and killing three and injuring at least 20 more people, he had a firearm and he used it on himself. So I think that's an appropriate use of a firearm. Just end it. Take it out. Ethan, my producer, Ethan Hatcher here, had some interesting statistics that he pulled up, or at least pulled up in his head during the break. You had them memorized. I think you should share them.
Well, this is something that's talked about with Guy Relford regularly, and it was decided in the Heller versus District Columbia of decision. Yeah,
yep.
Back from 2008. And commonly used firearms for lawful purposes, or firearms commonly used for lawful purposes, that is what is protected by our Second Amendment rights. And so you have to ask yourself, what percentage of the population is adversely affected by firearms? Now, there are over 333 million firearms across America. That's more than one for every citizen.
Right.
But only 24% of the population owns guns. That's 78 million Americans. Annually, including suicides, we lose about 33,000 people. Now, that's a lot of folks. About 22,000 of those commit suicide, and about 11,000 are homicides. But even including suicides, that is 0.0005% of 78 million. Like, that is an infinitesimal number.
Was that three zeros?
Yes, three zeros, and then a five.
Okay.
And that still works out to 39,000 people for every gun, which is just an infinitesimal overall figure from the sum. So is that a problem? And rationally, when you look at the numbers and break them down in that way, you have to come back with the answer no. And from the decision in 2008, that reason, that logic still stands. We have the Second Amendment right, and that is protected because those firearms are commonly used for lawful purposes, and only 0.0005% of that 24% of the population is used unlawfully.
Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. Thank you, producer Ethan. 317-239-9393 is our telephone number if you want to weigh in this conversation. I do want, Ethan, to go back, though, and look at those numbers that you just cited, because I think it's important. I don't want it to get lost in sort of the babble of all this communication. You said something like 30-some-odd thousand people are
roughly
killed by firearms.
33,000 people a year.
But two-thirds of those people are suicides.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost think you have to take that number almost out of the equation if you really want to figure out what the actual harm human being on human being harm is, because if there are people who are willing to kill themselves via gun, if a gun is not available, there's going to be some other method that they're going to be successful at, I would imagine.
You can break down the numbers further, because about 1,700 of those 11,000 are police action shootings, which are still counted among homicides.
That's right, they are. That's right. When I was prosecutor, every police action shooting in Marion County that resulted in a homicide would go before the grand jury, and that grand jury would review every decision. I don't know that that practice is currently being practiced here in Marion County.
So you're talking roughly 10,000 victims, give or take, annually, a year of unlawful shootings. And what is it? You again, being a prosecutor, you might have more insight on this figure, but something like over 80% of those annually are gang-related?
Oh, well, yes. Many of those are criminal on criminal. I think that's what you're saying,
exactly.
Right? I mean, certainly not all of them are criminal on criminal, but there's a significant number of criminal on criminal homicides.
But it's the fear that's captivated in the American mindset that you, as an innocent American citizen walking along and minding your own business, could find yourself the victim of one of these horrible attacks, be they a terrorist attack or be they the unlawful use of a firearm. And the statistical fact of the matter is we just don't have that much reason to be concerned about it. Certainly not as much as the mainstream media would have you believe.
Well, you just literally just took the words right out of my mouth, because the fear-mongering that is going on right now from the left, the propaganda, the misleading statements, the deceit, the sloganeering, all of it is absolutely reprehensible, because they are creating... The reason why kids are afraid to go to school is because what they're listening to before they go to school, because their parents... You know, have MSNBC on, and they're talking about the fact that children are terrified. The odds of a student being a victim of a school shooter in the United States, they did a Harvard did a study on this. It came out in the Washington Post a couple of weeks ago. It's like one in 262,000, to your point.
Kids are naturally easygoing creatures, just, you know, by the state of
being. Unless you jack them up.
There we go. That's my point. If you have kids who are afraid, it's because you've made them that way. Kids don't naturally live in fear. If you are propagating that message to them and they are parroting back to you, that is a reflection on yourself, not on the state of society in general.
Clearly, cars kill more people than guns. We have a caller who wanted to talk about cars.
Yes, we got Kevin on the line.
Kevin, what say you about cars, sir?
Hey there, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, you know, these soccer moms, they cruise around their $80,000 cars, and they got no idea they're on a missile. You know, it's unbelievable what these kids are going for. If they take away the firearms, your crime rate will jump over 300% in one night. That's like, hey, come in and rape my wife and take all my stuff. Do what you want. Nobody's going to stop you.
Did you see this thing on Facebook? One of my Facebook friends sent me something where households that were standing against gun violence and they were standing for common sense gun legislation and who did not, check this out, who did not have a firearm in their home, put a red bulb in their front porch light and turned it on. Like, come rob me.
Yeah.
Come rob me light.
Yeah. Come get some.
Come get some. There's nothing here. No one's going to stop you.
Right.
Take what you want.
It's crazy. But, you know, they're not going to take away the soccer, the Porsche, what is it, Calientes, wherever they are, the Cayennes or whatever
Porsche
it is.
Porsche Cayennes.
You
know, yep.
Yeah.
All right, man. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Okay, 317-239-9393. Kevin's point is this. There's 30,000 vehicular deaths a year. That, folks, is a lot of death. And here's what's interesting about this number. And this is the argument that you need to keep in mind when you have your progressive friends over for dinner, like I do, and they start, you know, bashing the gun. They start blaming the gun instead of the evil doer, right? We could dramatically reduce the number of vehicle deaths. We could reduce that 30,000 number, but we don't want to, right? I mean, we could look, somebody who's been convicted of operating while intoxicating, we could say, you can't legally own a car. You're done with driving because you have demonstrated yourself to be a risk that society doesn't want to tolerate. Okay, maybe that's too draconian. What about this idea? Why don't we just limit cars? How about every car that is manufactured, the government says, is cannot go over 35 miles an hour? I mean, that would certainly save a lot of lives, wouldn't it? I mean, 35 miles an hour. But no, we think that 65, 75, in some places even faster than that, we think that that is an acceptable risk. But clearly that's going to cause more accidents. It's going to cause more deaths. So there is this whole, this balancing analysis that we do with automobiles and deaths. And automobiles are a convenience. Look, we could ride the bus, take a train, ride a bike, walk. We'd all be maybe a little bit thinner, a little bit healthier. There's all sorts of things that we could do to reduce the number of automobile deaths. And an automobile is a convenience. We're not even talking. We haven't even gotten to the part that firearms are a right. And not just a right, a fundamental right. And not just a fundamental right, but a fundamental right so important that the founders decided to make it second. Only to the First Amendment. Only to the most important amendment, which is the freedom of speech. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you why it's a fundamental right and why when you have this discussion with your neighbors and your peers, you need to focus on the on this part that it's a fundamental right, that it's an essential right to who we are and why we as citizens have a moral and ethical duty to not only fight for the Second Amendment, but also to responsibly own and train with firearms. 317-239-9393. We've got some callers on hold. Hold on until the break is over. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. We'll be right back. The primary purpose of a firearm, notwithstanding what the left wants you to believe, and our own city, our own Democratic city county councilors, apparently now, I've learned we have a caller on the phone who wants to talk about that. I want to talk to you about that as well. They're not weapons of war. They're not designed to kill people. So you can certainly use them to kill people, just like you can use a car, or for that matter, many other things. My laptop could probably kill someone if I decided to misuse it in a fit of rage, if I decided to go over and just beat Ethan upon the head because he's not playing good bumper music.
Something like 1,200 people a year killed by blunt objects, right?
by frustrated radio hosts with laptops. Carl Brizzi filling in for Guy Relford, 93 WIBC, 317-239-9393 if you want to weigh in on the conversation. So I just found out that our city county councilors are urging state lawmakers to consider a ban on assault rifles. Not really sure exactly how far that's going to go. Probably not very far, given the makeup of our legislature and who our governor is, thankfully. But, you know, one of the things that I found in researching and watching what was going on with the Parkland and with the march in Washington and with the after action interviews by not only amateur reporters who were going around with sort of handheld cameras and asking questions, is that many of these people who are protesting have no idea what the heck they're talking about. They don't even know. They don't know what common sense gun legislation means or is. They don't even know what a semi-automatic weapon is, for that matter. They call them weapons of war. No one would go into war with a .223 or .556 rifle, would they? That would be bad. Our military uses, 7.62. I won't get into all the details of it. Many people know way more than I do. Who do we have on the phone?
Let's see. We got Mr. Mike is on the line.
Hello, Michael. You're on with Carl Brizzi.
Kyle, thank you for taking my call. I 2 weeks ago, my boys and I, we all own guns. We've been very responsible with our guns throughout the years. I've taught my boys from a very young age, what guns are for. And, I was doing research and I was doing some comparisons. And whenever a life is taken, it's wrong. It doesn't matter what the cause is. But I think we're focusing on the wrong thing. I was looking online, and since 2014, 134 children have lost their lives to guns in schools. But yet, 7,000 plus students have lost their lives for drug overdose.
Yeah.
And when I look at those numbers and I go, those aren't getting reported.
Right.
People don't care about that because those may be the kids that were troubled kids anyways. And so I think that, you know, taking the guns away is not going to be the issue. I mean, it's not going to change anything. I don't think my kids will be any safer in school if you take guns away. I think it'll be worse.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, so yesterday I went and I started reading the journaling of the Columbine killers because I've really been thinking a lot about this. And to your point, you know, what if there weren't guns? You know, how much safer would everyone be? Well, if you really want to know, I mean, if you really want to go dark and you want to dig down deep into the depths of human depravity and how low people can be in terms of just hating their own existence to the point where they want to kill as many people as they possibly can before they turn the weapon on themselves or before they're shot by the police, you read those journals. And they will make the hair on the back of your neck absolutely stand up. The most nihilistic, evil thoughts, pride, and there's absolutely nothing that would have prevented those killers, after you read those journals, from finding some tool to kill as many people as they possibly can. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, and I saw that city in just south of Chicago that is mandating that you relinquish any semi-automatic gun.
Deerfield.
Take the penalty.
Yeah, that's
take the penalty of $1,000 a day. And so I actually read the Second Amendment this past week because I hadn't looked at the amendments, and I encourage everybody, just look at the amendments. There is no gray area with the Second Amendment. It is a very short, compact, you know, that gives the rights because of the, you know, due to the militia, and it gives us the right to bear arms. And I think that that's what makes our country great is the fact that we've got those amendments there, and they're there for a reason, and every one of them is there for a reason. And, you know, go ahead.
No, thanks for the call, man. I absolutely appreciate it. Right. I appreciate the fact that you read the Bill of Rights, that you read the Second Amendment, and to your point, the Second Amendment is there not so people can hunt. That's not the reason.
Yep.
The reason the Second Amendment is there is because we as human beings cannot truly be free without the ability to protect ourselves, not only from, you know, bad guys, but also from the government. That's what it's designed to be for. So I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. 317-239-9393. The fear-mongering that goes on with the news media and the left, they have become experts at manipulation. And I think to Mike's point, the reason why you don't hear about the 7,000 children who die from drug overdoses throughout the country, way more than the 100 that are killed because of firearms, is because it's not part of the agenda. Don't think for a second that the agenda is about keeping kids safe in schools. Kids are safe in schools. When you look at facts, when you don't listen to the hyperbolic statements of those who are trying to convince you otherwise. The point here is to disarm Americans. That has always been part of the left agenda, and it is pushed by elites, many of whom have, by the way, armed bodyguards with guns who are taxpayer funded. And, you know, look, if human nature is such, if I'm the only guy with a gun, I'm inherently much safer than the people who don't have guns. And so why not, right? If I've got Secret Service who are dedicated to me for the rest of my life and to my children and to my close relatives who travel with me and they stay with me and they make sure that everything I do is secure, yeah, why not advocate for the elimination of regular old guys like us to be able to protect ourselves? You know, I had a security detail for 8 years, a serious security detail for 8 years, because I had death threats, I had all sorts of things going on. And that security detail stopped after I was not prosecutor anymore. Well, then what do you do? I mean, you certainly don't stop having the idea that you were the prosecutor and there are people who are coming out of prison that I put in prison. So, you know, Second Amendment actually means something to me and my family. Because I know that if something goes down, by the time I dial 911, because I don't have like the secret switch anymore that I used to press, like the bat switch, you know, and somebody would come swinging out of the sky with a cape to save me. I don't have that anymore. So now it's on me, because by the time the brave men and women in blue and brown show up, and it's not their fault, just the way that it is, because if you've ever called 911, which I had to do a couple of weeks ago because a refrigerator was in the middle of 70 and I almost hit it. Yeah, it must have fallen off a truck or something. So I called 911 and it was busy. And I called again and it rang like 10 to 15 times before someone picked up. So I'm like, okay, note to self. 911 may or may not work depending upon what time of the day it is and how busy they are. So we all have a responsibility to protect ourselves. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. We have another call.
Yeah, we got Scott on the line.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, you know that comment about the people putting light bulbs, red light bulbs on their porch saying they don't have guns?
What is wrong with them?
Well, here's the thing they're not thinking is the fact that in the old days, the red light means that the woman was up for open for business, like in Denmark, the red light district.
The red light district, yeah. Yep, yep.
I think anytime
well, so I've heard, anyway. I don't know firsthand.
Yeah, well, I think if someone sees a red light on there, they should call and say, there's a prostitution across the street.
All right.
They got the red light because, you know, when they come up with these people don't do the research to understand that there's other significant meaning to the light.
Right, right. Good point. Good point, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you. Enjoy your show. Bye.
Thank you, sir. 317-239-9393. Carl Brizzi filling in for Guy here on The Gun Show. Taking your calls and talking about guns and the Second Amendment and why aren't we focusing on things like the drug crisis or even automobiles, which again, that's a convenience. It's not an essential fundamental right. Want to take one more call before the break?
Yeah, we got Mr. Will on the line.
Hey, Will.
Hi there, Carl. I wanted to make sure I wasn't misunderstanding you. Were you saying that the U.S. military doesn't use a 5.56? Because as far as I'm aware, that's all that we use for our M4s, M16s, and things like that. 7.62 is a NATO round. And
oh, that's what I was thinking of, the NATO rounds. Yeah, right. You're right. But those weapons, I mean, you have the ability to go fully auto on those weapons.
No. I fully agree with you. I like you were saying, if we want the left to get their facts right, then we want to get ours right. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything against you. It's just
no, I misspoke.
Put everything on the table and make sure it's right.
No, I misspoke. You know, even though that, you know, that's interesting about that 5.56 round because it doesn't have nearly the takedown power, but it certainly you have more capacity.
Oh yeah, no, it doesn't have near the takedown power as say an AK-47, which is the 7.62. That'll punch through body armor in a pretty quick, but a 5.56, it's not going to. But we choose quantity over quality, I guess.
Yep, I had to shoot a wild boar 3 times with one.
Oh wow!
Yeah, before it went down. So.
Yeah, I'd prefer to use a 308.
That's what I should have used.
Me, but
I was underarmed. Thanks for the
wait for a bore.
Yeah, thanks for the call and thanks for correcting that. I appreciate it. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. We'll be right back. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. Look me up at carlbrizzilive.com on Facebook. Also, Twitter at Carl Brizzi. Thanks for tuning in. Man, lots of good calls talking about common sense. I say firm tongue firmly in cheek. Common sense gun legislation and all things Second Amendment. Appreciate the last caller who corrected me when I misspoke about the 5.56 round. So we have a caller on the phone. I just saw this, Ethan, where a Massachusetts judge ruled that a state can essentially outlaw the AR-15.
Yeah.
We have somebody on the line?
Yeah, we got Nick on the line for that.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how you doing, Carl?
Good. What do you know about this?
I just saw that. I just saw the ruling. I think it was on just on the news wire yesterday, and I took a look at it and really didn't read much into it. But I just saw that the AR-15, quote unquote, assault rifles were deemed to be unconstitutional. And I'm just trying to get your take on it. I'm just a little confused on what the ruling was based off of and how it got to.
So here's what I'm reading. When I heard your question, I pulled it up real quick on the internet. And what I found was that the state banned what they're calling assault weapons and large capacity magazines, saying that the weapons were not protected by the Second Amendment. And I think this is a huge stretch. This U.S. District Court Judge William Young: assault weapons are considered to be military firearms, he said in his ruling, therefore disqualifying them from being included in a citizen's right to bear arms. I find that very interesting. What do you think?
Well, I think that this butts up directly with the legal language of the Heller decision, because remember, yeah, we covered that at the very outset of this show. Firearms commonly used for lawful purposes.
Right, right.
And if anything, it's the rifles that are used for an even smaller fraction,
yeah,
of homicides than are handguns or other types of firearms. So watch the liberals end up shooting themselves in the foot. Theoretically, here.
Yeah, this is gonna go. This is gonna go all the way up. This is gonna go all the way up. I mean, basically, what they're saying is that, because of the AR-15 platform, essentially, is a military style weapon. Even though it's not fully automatic, as we just talked about before the break, that it's a military weapon and not a civilian weapon, and therefore not covered by the Second Amendment. That seems to me to be a stretch. I think we need to stay tuned, but I appreciate you bringing it to our attention. Thank you very much. Do we have Congressman Rokita on the phone?
Congressman Rokita is on the air.
Oh, how nice. What a wonderful thing. Hello, Congressman.
Carl, hey, great to hear you on the airwaves, man.
Thank you. I know that you're traversing across the state, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes just to call in and check in with us. We're talking about this decision in Massachusetts where the state and the court upheld the banning of AR-15, saying essentially it's a military weapon, not, you know, has no business being in the hands of civilians. And I just want to take a few minutes of your time and just let the listeners know what your take on the Second Amendment is and kind of where we're going with this whole thing.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Carl. It's a great day to be out traversing the state. You're right. We'll probably do 350 miles today.
Wow.
I think we're doing 2,500 this week. So
where are you?
I love it. We're in Greensburg, so we're in the eastern side of the state, and we've just been all over. And I love it. I mean, just back from my Secretary of State days when we were going to every county every year, we would drive 45,000 miles a year. And now in this United States Senate run, we're doing the same thing. And, you know, it's where I get my marching orders. People, you know, see me, they approach me. We just pulled over at a gas station here so we can make this call because we're driving around in a H1 Humvee Hummer. So it's kind of noisy to do an interview in.
You mean a military assault vehicle?
yeah, that the Supreme Court may ban any day now.
Exactly. Well, what are your people saying out there in the hinterlands about what's going on with this challenge?
We pride ourselves on Hoosier common sense, and not one day goes by where I don't get questioned about the Second Amendment, because it's so important when you're electing United States office holders, whether it's Congress or the United States Senate, and you need to have people that are very clear on what the real meaning of the Second Amendment is. And I can tell you that court you mentioned, Massachusetts or wherever, has it exactly wrong. You will never find me, nor should you find anyone, who would try to hinder the constitutional rights of a good guy to have a gun.
I'm just actually watching. I'm watching a commercial of you as I am talking to you, and you are firing an AR-15.
Yeah. I mean,
that's weird.
There's no time like the present to make sure people know, voters. I'm sure you're looking at a campaign commercial. I want people's vote, and I want them to know exactly where I stand, whether it's AR-15s or Second Amendment rights. And no better way to do that than in a commercial. You know, other guys that won't do that. And so you're left to wonder with Todd Rokita, like whether it's Second Amendment issues or other issues, you never have to worry about where I stand. you know directly from me and from my messages where I am on an issue. And I think that's good.
So how do you see this playing out then in terms of, you know, all of this, you know, all of the hyperbole and, you know, all of the spilled blood is on the hands of the NRA and some of these other statements?
Yeah, I could just tell you when President Obama was there, there were issues that would come up from time to time. I remember probably back in 2013, at the beginning of the year, I led an effort of 50 lawmakers telling the president in writing that, you know, we are not going to support any regulation or any law that would hinder someone to exercise their God-given right, which is manifested in the Constitution through our Second Amendment, God-given right to protect ourselves from each other. You know, the Second Amendment is not about hunting.
Right.
It's about protecting ourselves from each other, and no government can take that away. That's what the Second Amendment means. That's what our Constitution is there for. So if it can't be, if these rights can't be given by our government, they can't be taken away from our government. They come from God. Or if you're an atheist, they're call it natural law or what have you. But the point is, it's not governments to take away. So we made that very clear to President Obama during, you know what, before were some tough times as well. And guess what? Our laws didn't change regarding the Second Amendment, and I think that was a good thing.
Hey, real quickly, where are you at in terms of sending National Guardsmen to the border?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we need a wall. There's no country worth living in that you can't control who comes in your country. And it's not that we're not welcoming people. We are. But we want people to come the right way because, above all, we're supposed to be, and you know this as a practicing lawyer and as a former prosecutor, that we should all be treated equal under the law. You know, that is part of our American exceptionalism. It's cornerstone to it. And when you ignore the law, when you erode that exceptionalism. So we ought to have a border. And that's one of the reasons I voted against the spending bill, is because it didn't give money to secure the border through a wall system. So short of that, then, I think we ought to use the military to secure a border. The point is, yeah, a sovereign nation deserves to have a border. It also deserves to have a common language, and that's why I'm calling for English as our official language in this country.
Makes sense to me. I mean, I don't go to sleep any night without making a check of all the doors of my house. And I know that may sound like a simple analogy, but that's the way it is. I mean,
No, you're exactly right. Because you wake up in the morning and you find your, you know, someone sitting in your living room,
right,
or you find all your stuff gone. You know, that's exactly what, in terms of a nation, that's how we should do. We should be.
Congressman Todd Rokita, thank you so much for taking the time to give me a call.
Carl, again, it's great to hear you on the airwaves. I hope we hear more of you.
Thanks, man. Safe travels. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. We're going to take a break. We're going to take your calls. We'll be right back. The right to protect yourself and your loved ones is a fundamental right. This is Carl Brizzi filling in for the Gun Guy, 93 WIBC. You can follow me on Facebook at Carl Brizzi, carlbrizzilive.com, and Twitter at Carl Brizzi. There's a reason why, folks, the Founding Fathers enumerated the right to bear arms as second only to the freedom of speech. That was not a coincidence. That was not accidental. That was intentional. The right to protect ourselves and our loved ones is rooted in the Constitution, as Congressman Rokita said, and essential to our country's commitment to individual liberty. And these rights, whether it's the right to free speech or the right to bear arms, these are fundamental rights, which means that they are absolute. They are absolute, right? They're different from the privilege of having a driver's license and the privilege of driving an automobile. And these fundamental rights, much like a privilege, will be abused by some, and there will be some harm that is associated with that abuse. So the question becomes, how much harm, just like automobiles, are we willing to accept in exchange for having a fundamental right? I mean, we do the same thing with the First Amendment and free speech. Right? I mean, there's some hateful, offensive, ugly, racist speech, offensive speech, but that's the whole point of the First Amendment, right? I mean, because if we all agreed with the speech, we wouldn't have the need for the First Amendment. So we tolerate bigotry. We tolerate hate speech. Now, there are some reasonable regulations around, you know, inciting riots and yelling fire in a crowded theater, that sort of thing. But the right to free speech is fundamental. Now, that also is under attack, Ethan.
Well, what I wanted to point out is, of course, this is a no-brainer, but criminals don't care about laws.
Oh my gosh.
The criminal element will continue to assault you. The necessity for the right to self-defense can be highlighted by our neighbors across the pond. Mm-hmm. For the first time in a long time, the murder rate in London has overtaken New York City. And guns are banned over there, folks. Let's not forget also that gun crimes in London are up 40% from where they were just 10 years ago. And in addition to knife crimes being up by 25% from where they were just 5 years ago, criminals are now using acid attacks to maul innocent citizens. Safety is not guaranteed in Britain just because your right to own a firearm has been infringed.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. And you know, it's interesting. If you watched the March for Life that was, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Saturday, mm-hmm. in D.C. with the Parkland students and others, they trotted out these mayors from these cities like Milwaukee and St. Louis, Baltimore, New Orleans, Chicago. You know, these cities that have, you know, the strictest gun control laws have the highest crime rates. I mean, it is literally like it's inverted. And how people are still arguing that stricter gun control and stricter gun law, I can't carry my firearm in the city of Chicago as a retired prosecutor with a carry permit and with senior prosecutor status.
The amusing retort, of course, that is offered by liberals is that the explanatory factor for high crime rates in cities with gun control is because the outlying areas have loose gun
laws.
Yes,
of course.
But it begs the question, why don't those areas have high crime rates?
Right. Because, yeah, all the gangbangers are coming from Chicago, Ethan, to the Indiana State Fair. To the gun, the 500 gun festival.
Indy 500, whatever it is. 500 guns.
And I think those guys might stand out a bit at the gun carnival. That's just one humble man's opinion. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC, 239-9393. We've got some callers on the line. I want to take their calls.
Yes, let's go to Mr. Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, how you doing this afternoon? Hey, the way I look at it is that the AR platform is a sporting rifle,
mm-hmm.
because of the big uptake in the three gun nation and all of these circuits that are going, but it doesn't fit their narrative as a scary weapon.
Yeah, it's really kind of insane. Like this woman that shot up the YouTube, she had a semi-automatic handgun. I don't exactly know what kind of semi-automatic handgun she had. But she had a semi-automatic handgun. She was able to shoot three people. And just like Parkland, the police in that case were warned. They had warnings. They took YouTube videos down. The structure exists. There's no follow-through. Right? So you ban one weapon. Another weapon is used. The Columbine guys use shotguns. The Virginia Tech guys use handguns. Like, where does it stop? It doesn't stop. And that's what is so misleading and deceitful about the movement. I appreciate your call. Who's next, Ethan?
We got Chris on line two.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, nice talking to you, Carl. I really appreciate all your service to our city over the years.
Thank you.
You know, one thing that I really find, you know, that listening to your show has brought me to this spot that earlier the caller said he read the Second Amendment, and some of us have, but when they take cursive out of the schools, I just really see like a future generation of people that they won't even know what their rights are because they can't read them. And when you put on top of that, like the liberal slant in our educational system, it just really, a lot of kids don't get an education on firearms. And so they're scared of them. And then they don't get taught critical thinking skills. So they can't look at these numbers that, you know, you've been talking about this afternoon and do the simple formulas to break things down per capita so that they can compare apples to apples and see that here in America, they're safer than in any time throughout history. An everyday citizen can, you know, pretty much count on living into their retirement years. And I just really feel like it's like a twofold situation when you dumb down society like that.
So. I think that's an excellent point. And I've been thinking about, you know, this whole cause and effect symptom versus disease, this paradigm, because, you know, I've been reading a lot about, you know, we're not, you know, we're culturally illiterate, or the millennials are culturally illiterate, whatever that means. I'm sure that it's different for different people, but I think that we tend to see symptoms as the actual disease. You know, for me, and I think to your point, cultural literacy would include teaching of the, you know, traditional liberalism, teaching the classics, you know, talking about the roots of Western civilization. And I think it's easy as a default also to kind of blame the teachers. And I'm not sure that's entirely fair, because I know that there are obviously all kinds of teachers out there, some great, some not so great. But the teachers are teaching the kids so that they can pass the standardized tests. And those standardized tests are handed down from above, right? Like, they don't have any control over that. And they've got to teach the curriculum that the kids are going to memorize so that they can take these tests, regurgitate the information out, and do well so they can get into good schools. So I'm not sure where the blame lies there, right? I mean, you can't teach children things. You only have so many hours in a day, so you can't teach them stuff that's not going to be relevant to their success in terms of that market, the school market. Does that make sense, Ethan?
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is a bit of a cop-out for me, but the strength and the weakness simultaneously of the American school system is local control.
Yeah.
Because we don't want an NEA or an overarching federal authority telling us how we have to teach our kids. Just look at the disaster that is Common Core for all the explanation you need as to why we don't need the feds controlling the state of education. Simultaneously, however, we see many of these districts lagging behind and the education of our kids suffering as a result, and that's flatly unacceptable coming from a nation that values education. It was Thomas Jefferson, one of my favorite quotes from him, that said, "A nation left uneducated in matters pertaining to individual liberty will not long be able to secure their own freedoms, nor have the capacity to recognize when they were lost."
Show off.
And yet the answer remains local control.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And, you know, part of it is we're getting 300 million people. Local control is really hard from this top-down kind of analysis. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC, 317-239-9393 is the telephone number if you want to call in and chime in on the conversation. Look, the right to bear arms, like all rights, like freedom of speech, like every right, will be abused by some. When I was prosecutor, we had cases where the Fourth Amendment, which is the amendment that regulates against search and seizure, where that was violated, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not intentionally, and sometimes evidence was thrown out because of these so-called technical search and seizure violations. Well, they're not technical violations. These violations actually matter. And any evidence that is obtained as a result of a bad search or bad seizure is fruit of the poisonous tree, and it's thrown out. And cases are lost. And unfortunately, sometimes bad guys get away with crimes because of this amendment. Now, would we be able to cast a wider net? Would we be able to catch more bad guys if that amendment was completely done away with? And it's currently, by the way, being eroded daily by court decisions. But notwithstanding that fact, if we just did away with the amendment, would we be able to catch more bad guys? Yes, of course we would. But what are we sacrificing for that? Well, we're sacrificing civil liberty. We're sacrificing accountability. It's the same thing with the Second Amendment. It's the same thing with the First Amendment. There's always going to be a balance. There's always going to be a risk analysis. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. Who do we have on the phone?
We got Barbara on the line.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Mr. Brizzi. Just really what I wanted to say is thank you so much for speaking so well about Second Amendment rights. And I just love the tone of your show. And, you know, I hope you'll continue to be a strong voice for people who really don't know much about it.
Thank you.
And you're right. It's education will make the difference, and they need to hear, which, you know, Rush Limbaugh calls them sheeple. They need to hear more about it.
Well, you know, part of it is this idea, and I don't know if Barbara, if you've heard of this before. It's called rational ignorance. Have you ever heard of that term?
No.
So rational ignorance is this idea that we all as individual, busy, oversaturated mm-hmm. human beings yeah. who are trying to raise yeah. kids and pay bills and do all of the go to church. And mm-hmm. we only have so much yeah. gray matter between our ears. Right. And yep. we want to be able to control the things that we control. And I think a lot of the apathy comes from the fact that people believe that they can't change anything. So I sometimes think that this term sheeple is a bit mm-hmm. unfair, because you can only expect so much. Now, to your point, we have to educate people. We have to let them know that if we don't stand up for these things, and if our congresspeople and senators don't stand up for these things, that these things can go away. And
no, it's worth a call to your congressman to raise your voice. It's worth it. We all need to call into our congressman and let them know what we think about things.
Thank you, dear. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you,
Barbara. That was actually very good, because I do think that there is this oversaturation, right? The news is 24/7. Social media is 24/7. People are working harder than ever. I mean, they literally put a law on the books in New York where bosses can't email or text after a certain hour. Did you see that like a couple of weeks ago?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Talk about overreaction. Over regulation.
I know.
It's coming from the same state that regulated your soda size. So are we surprised?
Thank you, Mayor Bloomberg. I want a big gulp. Oh yeah. How many people die from obesity and sugar and smoking and alcohol? Way more than gun deaths. I can guarantee that.
I believe obesity and heart disease is the number one killer in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. We have more callers.
Yes, we have one more. And this is Tony on line three.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. Let's not lose sight of the fact that the Second Amendment is designed to protect us all from all enemies, and that would include our own government should it become tyrannical.
Amen.
Also, let's not forget that the weapons that the framers were referring to were the standard issue for the militia at that time, and that was a flintlock. So I would give you that the Second Amendment, having evolved till today, would include the standard weapon that we give to 18-year-olds that serve our country. Let's back off. Remember, that's a full automatic. Let's back off of that a little bit and not worry so much about what an AR-15 looks like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, that's an excellent point. Thanks for calling in. Right. I mean, you hand an 18-year-old that same weapon. That weapon can go fully automatic. That is clearly illegal. Yeah, let's make this point too, Ethan. I think this is important. Carl Berzy, 93 WIBC. And everyone listening to this show, I know, knows what a semi-automatic weapon is. But I can't tell you the number of people who actually don't know what a semi-automatic weapon is. You pull the trigger once, one bullet is fired out of the barrel. You pull the trigger, a bullet is fired out of the barrel. So many people, and especially in the media, they have no idea what a semi-automatic weapon is. Handguns, every handgun with the exception of revolvers, are all semi-automatic. Am I right? I think I'm right.
Pretty
I think
much.
That's right.
Yeah. Semi-automatic is the standard issue across the United States because, of course, burst fire and automatic weapons are federally regulated.
Yes. Those are illegal weapons.
Well, they have to be licensed. You have to go through a special license and approval
process. You have
process
to have a reason to have them.
Yes, and they do a background check, and you have to pay a prohibitive fee. But the point is, those are restricted and regulated.
So these rights that we are talking about, and I think this is what, if you have to have a 5 or 10 minute conversation, the right to bear arms is a fundamental right. Like the First Amendment, right to free speech, like the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment. And always in society, there are going to be people who abuse those rights. And they're going to cause harm when they abuse the right. That doesn't in any way diminish the right, right? That's the point. The pain associated with the harm caused by the criminals, because that's who we're talking about, doesn't diminish the right of law-abiding citizens to exercise and retain that right. And the government has an obligation to protect that right. When we come back, I want to play a quick 3-minute clip from one of the most articulate human beings I have yet, in a 3-minute thing in front of a city county council. I want to play that for you. And I think it'll help get you fired up, and we'll continue to fight this battle as we fight. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. We'll be right back. Carl Brizzi filling in for Guy, 93 WIBC, the gun guy. Appreciate the opportunity to be on the air here. You can follow me if you want to follow me. I've got a podcast now. It's been going on for a couple of months, about 1,000 listeners or so. Carl Brizzi Live, talk about important issues of the day. Try not to be, I try not to scream at people. Check it out, Carl Brizzi Live. Also, Carl Brizzi what's my Twitter? At Carl Brizzi. It's just at Carl Brizzi. That's how it works. I still have to get used to that. I don't know how all that stuff works. I've got people who do that for me. 317-239-9393 if you want to call in and weigh in on the conversation. So one of my Facebook friends, John Greathouse, sent me an amazing clip of a man, and I don't exactly remember what city he was in. Ethan, do you know? Does it say there?
Greensboro City.
Greensboro. So is that South Carolina or... I don't know, Greensboro, wherever that is. But he's speaking in front of the Greensboro City County Council, and they are apparently entertaining some sort of weapons ban. And this man stands up. He's wearing, just for the sake of the listening audience, he's wearing like a polo shirt. He looks like a salt of the earth kind of guy. And he just starts speaking impromptu about the regulations that they're considering. Listen to this. Loonies from the left. That guy has got it going on. I mean, he just nailed it in 3 minutes. He said everything that needed to be said. He wasn't speaking from notes. He was speaking contemporaneously, and he just nailed it. Don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And for our listeners, I think another point should be made that this is a man of color, if you will. This is a person of color. So this isn't just some white redneck coming out and defending the guns. That's what that's the liberal the impression that the liberal media would like to portray. No, this is a minority, and their rights need to be protected too.
Well, hold on. Let me even go further than that. This is Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. Let me go further than that. So I was on a panel discussion at Eastern Star Church about a month ago, and it was community leaders, it was pastor. Bill Benjamin, who's running for Marion County Sheriff, some Indiana legislators, and the crowd was mostly African American, and one of the female legislators starts talking about gun control and common sense gun legislation, and she finishes, and I sort of raise my hand, and Amp Harris, who you may know. He's a great moderator. He was moderating the debate. And I kind of raised my hand because I'm sitting next to her. And I say, hey, Amp, can I just respond to this real quick? He's like, sure. And this is what I say. I go, with all respect to, the things that this female legislator was saying about gun legislation, I said, I don't know how this issue has been co-opted by these Democratic politicians who are representing black people, many of whom are literally living in the areas that are most affected by gun violence and by criminals. And to go even further, I said, you want to give the government more power to mess with you? You want more stopping charges? You want to give the police more probable cause with tighter gun regulations, just like they do with marijuana and some of these other things? License plate lights being out. I mean, these are stopping charges. These are the reasons why people who are on parole and probation and trying, they feel like they're messed with, right? Because they're stuck in this cycle and they're in these same neighborhoods. So I go, these are the folks who need guns more than I do. Because, typically I don't hear gunshots outside my bedroom window at night. But a lot of the people that live in these communities that I talk with absolutely do. A lot of the people that, Reverend Harrison and Ten Point are dealing with in this city, they do. Because here's the thing, Ethan and listeners, our government is failing us. The leaders in the city of Indianapolis are doing an abysmal job. We are on our third straight year for record-breaking homicides. So now you have the Democrats who are in control. They've got the mayor's office, they've got the prosecutor's office, they've got the sheriff's office, and a Democrat-controlled city county council. There's not a Republican among them. Now, they're in control of public safety. Three straight years, they have a 40% clearance rate for murders. 40%. When I was prosecutor, the clearance rate for arrests were 80%. The conviction rates were somewhere in the high 70s. We were setting national records. Now, if you commit a murder in the city of Indianapolis, there's a 60% chance that you will not even be arrested, much less convicted of that crime. And now you have the Democrats in the city county council wanting to take guns away from the law-abiding citizens after they have completely abdicated their responsibility to protect the law-abiding citizens. I mean, it is mind-boggling that anyone would vote for these people. I mean, and that's the message that we have to get out. That's what we have to talk about. We shouldn't be. The label should not matter. What should matter is what your stance is on certain positions. And I think people like Barbara were saying that they don't have enough time. You know, but when they hear someone like me say, "Are you guys out of your minds? Do you really not like? Do you want your access to firearms to be restricted even more than they already are?" And then you know what happened? Several people in the audience got up and started like standing ovation kind of thing, because nobody talks like that, right? In those venues. 317-239-9393 if you want to call in. We take a break. We'll be right back with your calls. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC, filling in for the gun guy. Appreciate all the calls and all the Facebook posts. 317-239-9393. If you want to hit me up on Facebook, you can. Carl Brizzi Live is where the new podcast is housed. Doing it for, I think, 6 weeks now. We've got about 1,000 listeners. Check it out. Check it out if you like it. If you like it, if you don't like it, shoot me an email at carl@carlbrizzi.com. And follow me at Twitter, at Carl Brizzi. 317-239-9393 if you want to jump in on this conversation. Gosh, it's been a great show. The time has flown. Look, here's the bottom line. Human beings cannot truly be free human beings unless they have the ability and the right to defend themselves. Now, I have lots of friends, especially some female friends, who live alone or with a roommate, and they take me to task on this whole gun thing. And this is what I say to them. I go, look, and this is a generalization, so don't call in and like, you know, hit me over the head, because you know there's a woman who's a black belt in you know, kung fu, or she's, you know, WWF strong, because most of the time it's been my experience that men are stronger than women. And if a man is breaking into your home or is intent on doing you some kind of harm, let me put it this way, so I'm not in any way offensive. I want to be careful with my words here. The gun is a great equalizer. The gun is what makes people who may not necessarily be able to physically defend themselves, and I'm speaking as a father of four daughters here, be able to defend themselves. And what I say to them is this, and especially if they have children, it's like, I think that it is more than a fundamental right. I think that if you have children, that you have an ethical and moral obligation to be a responsible gun owner. Because what are you going to do? And this is a tough question. And many people who are, you know, pro guns or pro gun control, anti guns, don't want to think about this, and they want to kind of stick their head in the sand like an ostrich and just hope that nothing bad happens. Because typically when I bring this argument up, what they say is, statistically, it is more likely that the gun will be taken away from you and it will be turned on you and used on you. Or statistically, it's more likely that a child in your home will get a hold of the gun and hurt themselves. And I say, that's nonsense. First of all, that's just complete and utter nonsense. I cannot tell you how many firearms I own. I have 6 children from 15 to 25. I've had firearms since the 25-year-old was just, you know, an embryo. So responsible gun ownership means being responsible. It means being able to access it. It also means locking it up securely, but being able to access it in times of an emergency. And so my point to these folks is, what are you going to do when somebody comes and they want and they want to hurt you, or they want to hurt your daughters. They want to do evil things. What are you going to do? Are you going to use harsh language? Are you going to pick up your cell phone and call 911 while you're being put on hold or having to redial the number and throw your cell phone at the bad guy? Are you going to use harsh language? Is that going to dissuade them? What's it going to dissuade somebody who is bent on committing crimes and committing heinous acts and doing evil? What's going to stop them? And I know it's cliche, but it's true. It's cliche because it's true. Good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns. You know, that woman last week or this week walked into YouTube, and YouTube, as you know, Ethan, is a gun-free zone. You know, I hate those signs. Those signs are as bad as putting a red bulb on your porch and saying, come hurt me and steal my stuff. I mean, literally, calling a place a gun-free zone has to be one of the most asinine things that a business could do. It's the dumbest thing I've ever... Really? First of all, I'm not going to frequent that establishment. And if I do, guess what? I'm going to have my gun. Because that's just their little rule. It's not a law. Right? So, anyway, 317-239-9393. You have a moral and ethical obligation to defend your family. Look, if you want to put yourself on the line, that's totally one thing, right? You as a living, breathing, independent soul, you can do what you want. But when you have young ones in that house, you have an obligation, an ethical and moral obligation to defend those children. And a defense is not hoping that something bad. Now, maybe your defense is, I've got two German Shepherds. That's fine. I get that. Fine. You know, you have an alarm system. That's great too. You lock your doors. That's great too. But there needs to be some kind of backup system, because when it hits the fan, look, the cold reality is this. Police and prosecutors are reactive. They're reactive. There are not many circumstances where police can save you. I had one case when I was prosecutor where a woman who was working as a confidential informant was actually had a wire on, and the police and she was undercover. She was working for the police, and so the police were following her. Well, the bad guy, the real bad guy, who I later prosecuted for attempted murder because I heard this horrific tape being played in the offices, found out that she was a CI. And he and a buddy had already had all the implements. They'd already found a hole where a new house was going to be constructed. Like the next day, they were going to pour the concrete. And so they were ready. They were going to kill her, and they were going to bury her under the concrete that was going to be poured the next day on this house. And they had concrete and everything, so they could do like a little mini floor so that nobody would know. They start to strangle her. And you can hear it because she's wired. And the police bust in like just the nick of time and take these two guys out. And the fight was on. I mean, it was a real fight. And they saved her. But most of the cases that I dealt with and I prosecuted, the bad thing had already happened. And nobody was there to save the person. And then we went back and we prosecuted the bad guy. But you can't take back the harm. Can't take back the life. The harm's already happened. So we, as living, breathing, free entities, have a responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. We'll be right back. Hey, Carl Brizzi, 93 WIBC. Thanks for listening. Just a few more minutes here. Gosh, the 2 hours goes by so fast. I'm filling in for Guy. I appreciate the opportunity. 317-239-9393 if you want to get in. We've got a few more minutes left. Lines are open. Look, I'm passionate about this issue because I'm a student of history. You don't have to guess what happens when a government disarms citizens. All we have to do is study history. Apparently, that's not a subject taught in Parkland, Florida. But it's right there for anybody who wants to see. 1911. Turkey disarmed its citizens. Between 1915 and 1917, they murdered 1.5 million Armenians. 1929, Russia disarmed its citizens. Between 1929 and 1953, they murdered 20 million Russians. China, 1935, disarmed its citizens. between 48 and 52, they killed 20 million Chinese. 1938, Germany disarmed its citizens. We all know what they did. 16 million Jews. There's a pattern here, Ethan. It's a pattern. Government is bad. Government is bad. That's the reason for the Second Amendment. And we don't have to look any... Look, there's nothing special and unique about where we are in history as if these tragedies, these massacres, somehow what? We don't think they can happen again? They've been happening for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. Who's on the phone?
Let's see. Here we got Larry on the line.
Hey, Larry.
Aloha, my friend.
Oh, Larry, how are you?
Hey, speaking of moral obligations of parents to protecting their kids, right?
Yep.
I think we've done this before. Do you speak to teachers and their moral obligation to protect their students?
What are we talking about? Are we talking about arming them or what?
Well, that's one of the buzzwords, isn't it? Is it an agenda or the narrative that's been going on a few weeks now?
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right... I don't know if that's the right approach or not. Larry, for all of you know, Larry and I went to law school together a bunch of years ago. He lives in the great state of Hawaii. He's a good man. He's a thoughtful man. He's a teacher.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of go back and forth on the arming teacher, you know, and then I saw all of the crazy stuff that the teachers were doing, like feeding the dog to the turtle. And I thought, you know, maybe this isn't such a good idea to give all these guys guns.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
What do you think? Well, come on. I mean, you're in the schools every day. What do you think?
I'm in one of the worst schools, Carl. I teach the alternative schools. So we get, you know, the kids that are kicked out of regular schools.
Okay.
It's the ones nobody wants to deal with, and none of us see a problem. It's been 26 years. I think it's a matter more of knowing the kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I think that's super important. And I think that was one of the things that you know, people aren't talking about. The school resource officer in Florida, I think his name was Peterson, that was one of the guys who didn't go in when the shots were fired. Apparently, he knew the kid and recommended to the school authorities that the kid get help, and he was ignored.
Right. You know, and I'd be interested in knowing, you know, things like class sizes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it were up to me, first thing I'd do is I'd put a constitutional amendment tops 16 kids in a class across the nation. I mean, you want to draw in more teachers, hey, that'll get them. Smaller class size, you'll get more qualified teachers, and you'll have a better rapport with the kids. You'll have a faster sort of pipeline into what they're thinking. And, you know, call them snowflakes all you want, right? But, I mean, kids need attention.
Oh, of course they do. No, they thrive on attention. Not calling anybody snowflakes. I'm not calling anybody snowflakes. The thing with Parkland that makes me crazy is that I don't – look, these kids don't know enough to drive policy. They can say what they want. They can protest. Right. They can picket. That's fine.
Kids have been like that for decades, though. I mean, from the Vietnam War and all those protests, that's just what teenagers do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They want to be heard.
That's right. No, I'm with you on that. Hey, I appreciate the call. I need to get out there and see you.
You do. Bring the family and...
bring the family and the guitar.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Good show, Carl. Good to hear you.
Thanks, Larry. Take care. Larry D. from the great state of Hawaii. You know, I'm sure class sizes are tough, but he's in Hawaii. He's in Hawaii, right? Like, that's awesome. It's paradise. They probably don't even have guns in Hawaii. Everyone's just sipping on coconuts. Hey, I appreciate everyone tuning in. I really do appreciate all of the Facebook posts and the comments. Keep it up, because I know we're going to have some more opportunities to do shows. Like I said, I wanted to stay true to Guy's show and stick to the Second Amendment. But all folks had all sorts of good stuff about immigration and all sorts of other things that we will get to and that we will talk about. And I tell you what, I want to promote a show, because I know I have some other friends out there who may disagree with me on stuff. I want to promote a show where only people who disagree with me get to call in. I think that'd be a fun 2 hours. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Carl Brizzy, 93 WIBC. Hit me up at Twitter @CarlBrizzy. Take care.